VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, COVID-19, well, it has closed churches, businesses, sports, schools, libraries, youth organizations, resorts, beaches, museums, vacation spots all across the country. Surgeries have been canceled. Doctor's office visits have been denied to many. Dental visits have been put on hold. While so much of the nation has gone through periods of shutdown, cancellation, and so forth, there's been no slowing down of the LGBTQ plus agenda on so many fronts. Here to discuss this with us today on this and related issues, we welcome back to Crosstalk Peter LaBarbera, the founder and president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for the opportunity.
Peter, one of the stories that became so notable is when Samaritan's Purse, headed by Franklin Graham, targeted with rage by those who engage with the LGBTQ plus agenda. I think of the likes of New York State Senator Brad Hoyleman. He's an open LGBTQ member of the New York Senate who said this: "You know those medical tents being constructed in Central Park? They're being set up by notorious anti-gay bigot Franklin Graham."
Yeah, well, the reality is there's a lot of anti-Christian bigotry among the LGBT queer activist movement. And it only becomes more pronounced with the more power that they get. In this case, you have a Christian ministry run by Franklin Graham that treats everybody, that helps everybody. But because it adheres to its Christian charter, its biblical charter, which includes believing that marriage is between a man and a woman because that's what marriage is, they have been smeared. And leftists led by LGBTQ activists have been out to get them. And even when they do something as wonderful as helping out COVID patients on their own dime through their charity work, through Samaritan's Purse in New York City, that does not stop them from being castigated by the homosexual, transgender activist bigots.
And then those words were even early on when Samaritan's Purse was headed there. But Peter, that spewing of hatred just continued even into this month of May. I saw a press release here by the senator, and he said this: "I fully support the heroic efforts of the doctors, nurses, and medical personnel on the front lines fighting the COVID-19 pandemic, but it's a real shame that Mount Sinai still clings to the argument that the only way to help our healthcare heroes is to allow bigots and homophobes to lend a hand. On behalf of the LGBTQ community I represent, I demand that they end their association with Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, or risk further reputational harm with LGBTQ New Yorkers and the wider public." I thought to myself, Peter, where's the love? Where's the tolerance here?
Well, the reality is they are political thugs. And because there's not a lot of pushback from the media, and even from the Republicans, I have to say, although this did get a lot of attention, the Samaritan's Purse being the victim of this anti-Christian bigotry, I think they're emboldened to continue on with this hatred. And, you know, we saw it with Chick-fil-A. We've seen it with so many, Christian ministries and people and organizations. But this was a really bad one.
Many of us are so familiar with Dr. Fauci. I mean, we have seen him nonstop in the news and the press conferences and so forth. And, his advice constantly being given about wearing face masks, social distancing, and all the shutdowns and things that had to take place. But, Peter, that all changed when it came to the topic of promiscuous relationships, immoral relationships. Here's what he said: "If you're willing to take a risk, and you know everybody has their own tolerance for risk, you could figure out if you want to meet somebody." And then he said, "If you want to go a little bit more intimate, well, that's your choice regarding a risk." What that's really a hypocritical statement in light of all his shutdown statements and caution statements. It says, it's your choice regarding the risk when it comes to these relationships.
Well, Jim, it's even worse than that, because he was specifically asked about these casual sex apps, including Grindr. One's called Tinder, one's Grindr. Grindr is the homosexual sex app by which men locate other sex partners, literally by the yard, I guess, or by the foot, how far they are away, in order to set up these casual sex meetings. This is what he was talking about, and he basically said, I guess that's okay, but it's at your own risk. Now, this is the same guy, Tony Fauci, who is so extra careful, who even went so far as to say schools now could possibly not be open in the fall because there might be a resurgence of COVID. So what happened to his extra careful persona when it comes to casual sex? When we know that homosexual sex was a main causative factor for the spread of HIV/AIDS, which he is supposedly the expert on.
Peter, Dan Savage has also gotten into the act here as well, and you brought this to light through your website. Tell us about Dan Savage.
Well, Dan Savage is, of course, the homosexual activist, radical, anti-Christian bigot. I think he's an atheist, too, throw that in, and also a pornographer, Jim. And he... there was a remember the story where Trump had I think it was his valet was tested positive for COVID-19,
mm-hmm.
and so Dan Savage the story was said that there was concern about the president possibly getting it COVID, and so Dan Savage tweeted, "You misspelled hope as concern." In other words, he hopes that the president gets COVID-19. So in other words, this radical homosexual activist, Dan Savage, was wishing the coronavirus on President Trump. And then, of course, after his tweet, all the radical Dan Savage fans were all celebrating this, how funny this was, this tweet, hoping that the president would get coronavirus. Now, Jim, just picture, had anybody done that, done this type of thing to a Democrat, this is just very sad stuff. This sort of hatred that is being encouraged by the left and fomented and celebrated on Twitter.
Peter LaBarbera with us today from Americans for Truth. Peter, the Human Rights Campaign, they've been actively engaged in recruiting children to their way of thinking during this time as well. And they have been having something called Welcoming Schools Wednesdays. And that includes today activities and resources for inclusive learning at home, in which they're offering books, they're offering activities for parents to use with their children at home that embrace the LGBTQ agenda.
Yeah, Jim, this was, we knew this was coming. Since more people are being effectively homeschooled because of the COVID crisis, Human Rights Campaign decided to try to encourage its spread of propaganda. And this includes, a cartoon video that they recommended on Harvey Milk, in which they basically glamorized Harvey Milk as some kind of a civil rights hero, the same Harvey Milk who was a promiscuous homosexual activist who spewed hatred at conservatives. He accused conservatives of being child molesters, including Anita Bryant. He compared them to Nazis. And yet this video that Human Rights Campaign recommended paints a shiny picture of Harvey Milk as this jocular gay activist. Total propaganda, Jim. But here's another important thing about this, Jim. The COVID crisis, ironically, has made it harder for gay activists to push their propaganda in schools. Because they're not in, the kids aren't in school.
Mm-hmm.
And May 22nd, which is this Friday, is Harvey Milk Day in California. But guess what? The kids won't be there to receive the Harvey Milk propaganda in school because of this crisis.
Well, HRC is doing what they can to get resources into homes that are going to promote LGBTQ identities. Listen to this activity. I took it. They've got a multiple-page article on their website, but here's one activity, Peter. It says, ask your child to help you come up with a list of words or phrases on social justice movements and important issues that they care about. Examples might include Black Lives Matter, respect all languages, animal rights, climate change, migration is beautiful, LGBTQ rights, water is life, disability rights, etc.
Yeah, note the intersectionality. All the left-wing causes are looped together, and just throw in the LGBTQ there as well. And Jim, I cannot not mention the other truth about Harvey Milk, which will not be taught to children anywhere, and is certainly not part of the LGBTQ propaganda, which is that Harvey Milk in his 30s had a sexual relationship with a 16 or 17 year old boy. So Harvey Milk was a de facto statutory rapist in the state of New York through this perverted sexual relationship with a runaway teenage boy.
One of the things in these resources, Peter, they're welcoming school Wednesdays, is they even liken LGBTQ to being related to, like, skin color. Just as people have different skin colors, so, you know, people have different orientations or you know, identities,
right,
in that regard.
Which is an insult to every African-American or Latino person in this country, because I've never seen an ex-Black, an ex-African-American, an ex-Latino, although I've had the privilege of getting to know many, many former homosexuals, ex-lesbians, ex-transgenders like Walt Heyer. So many people have left homosexual, bisexual, and transgendered lifestyles. So how dare they compare that to skin color, which, of course, is unchangeable and given to you by God.
And just before we move on to other topics here, Peter, one of the resources, a book that's being promoted, it was during week one, called The Family Book, celebrates the many different ways to be a family, whether you have two moms or two dads, a big family or a small family, a clean family or a messy one. That is, again, promotion of the LGBTQ agenda.
Right. Again, making the link to innocent characteristics to immoral ones. I mean, a family led by two homosexual men should not be compared to any kind of different family, a messy family, because homosexuality is a sexual perversion and it's immoral according to the Word of God. And so to pretend that that is just like any other family is ludicrous, and it's a bad analogy, and it's bad propaganda masquerading as teaching is what they're pushing.
I'd like to just refer to the fact that there are many businesses that are holding meetings by Zoom right now. There are many groups that are holding Zoom meetings. But, Peter, I saw this in the College Fix. Academics say using a wedding or family photo for your Zoom background is offensive. If an attendee of a virtual meeting has an image of their heterosexual wedding as his or her virtual background, they are committing a microaggression. So says a pair of researchers in a Michigan State University press release. According to their director of university's Children and Youth Institute and another associate vice chancellor for academic operations at the University of Colorado Denver, the expanded use of virtual meeting platforms such as Zoom and Skype have created a ripe setting for unconscious bias. That includes setting your background to an image of your wedding. Unconscious bias includes using language, symbolism, and nonverbal clues that reinforce normative social identities with respect to gender, race, sexual preference, and socioeconomic status. For example, when a virtual background of a Zoom meeting attendee has pictures of his or her wedding, it unintentionally reinforces the idea that marriage is both fitting between opposite sexes. Amazing, Peter.
Yeah, the left flips everything upside down. It used to be that there was a stigma attached to the abnormal, to the aberrant, to perversion. Now they're trying to put the stigma on normalcy, on marriage between men and women. You know, and that's how the left operates. They have to make the aberrant normal, and they have to make the normal aberrant.
Folks, again, we're coming up against a break right now, but keep in mind that if you're part of this Zoom meetings or perhaps it's Skype meetings or other forms of social media in which you've got a picture of your wedding as a backdrop, it is a form, could be a form, of microaggression. Back in just a minute with Peter LaBarbera here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has the Bible been confirmed by archaeological discoveries?
In many ways it has, Chris. Many ancient artifacts have been found, and in each case they confirm the general framework given in Scripture. The Bible claims to be a book of true history, and we would expect to find historical evidence and general agreement with it. But we wouldn't expect everything to be found. Much of the Bible took place long ago, and documents would be rare. But with many turns of the archaeologist's spade, we find details that support Scripture. Yes, we can be confident that the Bible is literally true, and even better than that, it's spiritually true. The evidence we find in history enhances our confidence in its spiritual claims. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today with Peter LaBarbera from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is the LGBTQ plus agenda advances during COVID-19. And folks, as so much has been shut down and stopped dead in its tracks, not so for the LGBTQ plus agenda. And this next segment is going to reveal that even further as we look at what's going on in media. Peter, this just came out from the American Family Association last Friday. PBS is going all out in the month of June to celebrate LGBTQ plus Pride Month. Every Tuesday beginning May 26, PBS is releasing Pride Land, focusing on an LGBTQ plus person, how that person deals with the ever-changing attitudes of Southern communities toward homosexual lifestyles. June 12th, they're going to have a member television station, the opportunity to air a one-hour companion special featuring series host and homosexual activist Dylan Burnside. A very extensive plan. Here is one, episode number two, an openly gay pastor's journey to acceptance in the Bible Belt, Peter.
Right. This is very disturbing. First of all, homosexuality is nothing to be proud of. And this is a taxpayer-funded institution, PBS, using our tax dollars to promote one side of the homosexual issue. And, of course, it's the pro-sexual sin side. And it's just disturbing how audacious this movement has become. You know, they always used to show pro-homosexual transgender films during so-called Pride Month, but now that they create a whole series for it. So what I'm sensing is that they are seeing that there's not as much opposition from the media and from conservatives and Republicans, and so they're pushing ahead with even more propaganda.
Folks, again, they've got multiple episodes. We mentioned that episode two, an openly gay pastor's journey to acceptance in the Bible Belt. Episode three, polyamory, demisexuality, and being transgendered in the South. Then we have episode four, the heartwarming story of one of Alabama's first same-sex adoptions. Then episode five, championing the LGBTQ plus healthcare in Mississippi. And then let's see, episode six.
Jim, can I say something on that?
Sure.
Yeah, no, the South, homosexual lobby knows that the South is where the strongest Christian presence is. And so they're pushing ever harder against the traditional norms, which is Christian norms, essentially, in the South. And since PBS is taxpayer-funded, how can they have a pro-homosexual pastor show about that, offering up the disproven and the ridiculous gay theology, which purports to show that you can be openly, proudly homosexual and a faithful Christian? How can they show that without showing the other side? Of course, they would never show the other side. They'll never have Professor Rob Gagnon giving the biblically traditional viewpoint on this. It's all one-sided propaganda paid for with our tax dollars.
And, friends, you can contact your local PBS affiliates and PBS National in that regard as well. Let's go to another aspect of this media. And, Peter, this comes from the Illinois Family Institute that came out in late April, where we have the Learning Channel, a new reality makeover show on the Learning Channel titled Dragnificent, in which four men who impersonate women, also known as drag queens, travel the country teaching women with wounded past how to dress for their body type and wear makeup. Dragnificent.
Well, this is a double whammy, because drag queens mock women. In fact, it was on your show, Jim, that I'll never forget, one of the callers called in and said, if blackface is wrong, how can drag be correct? In other words, drag is making fun of women. It's these men dress up with all this extra makeup and this ridiculous hair, and they're making fun of women. How can they be the ones who are going to coach women on how to dress? It's preposterous.
Well, so we have the Learning Channel, we got PBS, and the Daily Caller also pointed out that the Kids Network, Nickelodeon, and Cartoon Network announced, this is right after schools closed when that was happening in March, celebrating transgender people by promoting the Transgender Day of Visibility hashtag. Peter, this is something that, I mean, the media has been really honing in to promote the LGBTQ agenda, and it seems like it's intensifying here during this time of COVID-19.
Right, they want to reach the kids who still have minds that they're highly impressionable, and they want to reach them with this disturbing propaganda. And transgenderism, this is so disturbing, because we've already seen examples of underage children having their bodies destroyed, harmed with these transsexual, quote, sex reassignment surgeries, unquote. There's a story, I think we talked about, Jim, of the 16-year-old girl in Chicago who had her healthy breasts surgically removed because she wanted to be a boy, a man. We've already seen the effects of this propaganda. And so to push transgenderism on impressionable children, even toddlers and very young children, imprinting in their minds the idea that they can be the opposite sex is a form of child abuse. And it should be stopped. And we need to stop. And I'm happy to see that some states are already banning or starting to. I think it was in Idaho, Jim, that has stepped in, and they will not allow the transgender so-called sex reassignment surgeries and these radical hormone opposite sex therapies to be done on underage children. We need to protect the children from this radical body destroying transgender agenda.
LifeSiteNews.com talking about Netflix packing shows with LGBT representation. And then, Peter, it's also The Price is Right is getting into it. The Price is Right, a television program, donating $97,000 to Planned Parenthood on behalf of drag queen RuPaul.
Yeah, and I want to talk about Netflix too, Jim, but let's go to the drag queen, RuPaul first. RuPaul is he's a drag queen, a man posing as a woman in women's clothes. He has been very instrumental in pushing this idea of the gender confusion in youth, where the boys want to be drag queens. We've seen these awful stories of the so-called drag kids, these very young boys like Desmond is amazing, who want to be drag queens, and they start dressing as women in their when they're not even 10 years old or, you know, 12 years old. So RuPaul, they're pushing RuPaul, and of course he's raising funds for another evil cause, abortion on demand, which is Planned Parenthood. And that's just wicked to see something like The Price is Right, which was once this kind of all-American institution, now being used to promote transgenderism and abortion. But, Jim, on the Netflix, really quick, I have watched some of these pro-homosexual shows, and Netflix has a very radical pro-LGBT queer agenda. I think it's over 50 shows, according to LifeSite, promoting LGBTQ propaganda. And, Jim, I saw one, which is a show, they have a documentary on Netflix, which basically was a celebratory a Jewish couple in Los Angeles, which owned a bookstore that sold hardcore gay pornography. So Netflix is going so far even to push that. Meanwhile, they censored the Dennis Prager film, No Safe Spaces. So they're censoring pro-family, pro-freedom, pro-American movies as they promote even homosexual pornography, the normalization of it on their network.
Peter LaBarber with us here today. And one of the things we know, health officials across this country during this time of COVID, they have been front and center. And the Daily Wire pointing out that Dr. Rachel Levine, the transgender state official who heads up Pennsylvania's health department, a department they report is now under fire for sending COVID-19 positive, potentially infectious patients back to nursing homes before they were deemed recovered. He melted down during a press conference Wednesday. A reporter referred to Levine as several times as sir, and the health department director lashed out at the reporter saying, please don't misgender me, several times calling the question insulting.
Yeah, and I can't remember, Jim, is that because the reporter heard the deep voice of a man? Rachel Levine is a man pretending to be a woman. And was it the reporter heard the deep voice? Because a lot of times these so-called trans women who are basically men pretending and trying to live as quote-unquote women, it's hard to change the voice. And I think it was an innocent mistake by the guy. Well, it actually wasn't a mistake because Rachel Levine is a man.
Folks, we're covering and I know we're just hitting topics so many, but there are many, many issues here during this time of COVID that are advancing the LGBT plus agenda. Peter, another aspect, during this time, starting in March, we had the Human Rights Campaign present Alfonso David kicking off what it calls their National Faith Tour in Philadelphia. This is a cross-country interfaith religion and faith tour LGBT people and people of faith have more similarities than differences, and they're going on to promoting this. But I bring this up because tonight, We understand the HRC is hosting a virtual IFTAR event, the Virtual Faith Services, a continuation of the Coming Home to Faith, a Search for Common Ground tour, a goal of building bridges, strengthening the ties between faith and the LGBT communities, but now going to Islamic communities to have a virtual IFTAR event.
Yeah, I mean, it just gets more and more ridiculous. You know, in that in this faith tour, so-called, Jim, the Human Rights Campaign extols what it calls welcoming love, unquote. So there again we see the soft language, which would we see this the homosexual activists now pushing harder than ever to redefine Christianity, to redefine the Bible itself. There's nothing homosexual that celebrates or condones homosexuality or gender confusion or gender rebellion in the Word of God. We know that. The Bible is very clear, Mark 10:6. However, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, Jesus said. In Genesis 1:27, Jim, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. There's no wiggle room in the Bible for promoting sexual perversion and gender rebellion, and yet these activist groups are trying to fool people of faith and people who are not really acquainted with the Bible very well to tell them that the Bible, there's nothing that would quote unquote discriminate sexuality and gender confusion in the Word of God. That's a total lie.
Seeing an interesting story coming out of the UK as well is they have been using a rainbow as a symbol of solidarity with the NHS, that's their health system, with the workers there, as a thank you for people's service. But what is happening now is we have LGBT activists that are complaining that their rainbow symbol is being used for other purposes than to promote LGBT. That's their pride symbol, Peter. They're upset that somebody else might be using a rainbow for another purpose.
Well, I say to that, welcome to our world, homosexual activists. They stole the rainbow. The rainbow was given by God after the flood. It has nothing to do with celebrating sin. It has nothing. Their idea of what the rainbow is, they say diversity. God doesn't celebrate that kind of diversity. If God celebrated sin as a diversity, he would be celebrating all kinds of sin, because there's all sorts of ways that human beings fall short of the perfect standard of God. And so the homosexual lobby and the homosexual activists themselves stole the rainbow, and I wish there were a way, Jim, for Christians to get the rainbow back. I know many have tried, but this symbol, even in my neighborhood, Jim, in outside Chicago, in the suburbs of Chicago, once known as a conservative Republican area, there are rainbow flags all around my neighborhood now. It's become ubiquitous as a way of sort of a left symbol for liberals. I think in large part it's become an anti-Trump thing as well now, where you fly the rainbow flag and you're sort of saying, in your conservative, traditional Christian American values of the past.
We're going to take a quick break. Peter LaBarbera with us, and that's one of the things Answers in Genesis is doing, is going back to look at where the rainbow came from. And matter of fact, LGBT activists are upset that the Ark Encounter has been lit up with the colors of the rainbow. Well, folks, that's its origination. God gave it as a promise to never destroy the world by means of a worldwide flood. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
It's been estimated that 28% of Scripture was prophecy at the time it was written. With over 1,800 prophecies in Scripture, taking up over 8,300 verses, don't you think God put it there for a reason? Yet we find the church sound asleep, oblivious to the fact that the bridegroom is coming for the bride. In the book, Wake the Bride, author Jeff Kinley reminds us that Jesus wants his beautiful bride, the church, to be awake and ready for his return. This resource is a guide to the book of Revelation, written to arouse a sleeping church and motivate her toward personal purity as we await his coming. You'll read about the end times, Christ's return, the tribulation, the judgment seat of Christ, judgments on the earth, the Antichrist, the mark of 666, and so much more. Wake the Bride is available for a donation of $17 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. Just ask for Wake the Bride. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Indeed, folks, the LGBTQ plus agenda is advancing during COVID-19. Peter LaBarbera is with us today here on Crosstalk addressing the issues. He's founder and president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. And Peter, you've got a website that you regularly are posting to. And if you give the site here for our listeners.
Yes, Jim, it's Americans for Truth, F-O-R, spelled out, AmericansForTruth.com or .org.
Okay, AmericansForTruth.com. You'll stay abreast of so many of these issues. Peter, introduce us to Sarah Cunningham. Who is she?
Okay, Jim, when we talk about homosexual tolerance and even violent rhetoric, this is appalling. Sarah Cunningham is a mom activist. She has an openly homosexual son named Parker in Oklahoma City, and she's trying to push homosexuality, the acceptance of, in the Christian communities in Oklahoma. And she is being celebrated, of course, by the media. Lifetime is going to do a series with her starring Jamie Lee Curtis, who has basically now adores Sarah Cunningham. And so they're making a Lifetime movie, which is going to, of course, celebrate Sarah Cunningham. But here's something that they probably will not put in that Lifetime show, Jim. Sarah Cunningham recently had a Facebook post on May 8th in which she's all excited that they're going to make a movie about her starring Jamie Lee Curtis. And here's how it ends, Jim. She says, "We hope this show, quote, will put Oklahoma on the map for something really good." And here's how her Facebook post ends, Jim. And she says, quote, "Oh, and to burn the mainstream evangelical conservative non-affirming church doors down," and she has down capitalized, D-O-W-N, "to the ground." And then she has a little symbol for fire. So Sarah Cunningham is talking about burning the church doors down for traditional faithful evangelical churches. Isn't that shocking?
It really is, Peter. And again, where's the love? Where's the tolerance that they so accuse others of missing on? But it is...
Exactly, Jim. They say that our mere rhetoric, merely espousing biblical truth, it causes violence against homosexuals, and yet here she is talking in a celebratory way about burning down church doors.
Peter, let's move on to another issue here quickly, and that's the United Nations. I mean, they have been front and center as well with this COVID-19. And how is it that during this time across this world, the term is the pandemic across the world, that the UN tweets out, "Help create a more equal world by using gender-neutral language if you're unsure about someone's gender or referring to a group." They have talked about banning words here, Peter, like husband and wife, boyfriends, girlfriends. Don't say mankind, say humankind. Don't say policeman, say police officer. Don't say boyfriend or girlfriend, use the term partner. Don't use the term maiden name, say family name. Don't use husband, wife, say spouse instead. On and on this listing goes about trying to give corrections to the English language in such a time as this.
Right, Jim. Here again we have the pronoun police from the LGBT queer lobby, and it's just unbelievable how fanatical these people are. They know that to control language means to control culture, and so they're trying to now enforce it with their growing political power. And hopefully now through this COVID crisis, Jim, people are recognizing that this is the kind of frivolous nonsense that we can dispense with, because we've actually seen something very serious here. But I come back to the Word of God, Jim. God made them male and female. Mark 10:6, Genesis 1:27. God set up a system. He created a beautiful world with men, male and female. They unite together in love and marriage and procreate and beget a beautiful family. And it's the left that wants to tear this down and tear down God's design.
One other issue, Peter, I want to talk about here, and I've got more, but let's we'll bring it down to this one, and that is, again, during this time of COVID, we have the Human Rights Campaign giving their endorsement to Vice President Joe Biden for president, saying Vice President Joe Biden is the leader our community and our country need at this moment. This is a statement from the HRC President Alfonso David. His dedication to advancing LGBTQ equality, even when it was unpopular to do so, has pushed our country and our movement forward. Joe Biden will be a president who stands for all of us. HRC and our more than 3 million members and supporters will work day and night to ensure he's the next president of the United States. In 2019, just weeks after announcing his candidacy, Biden committed to passing the Equality Act as president. His campaign's LGBTQ platform is the most comprehensive LGBTQ equality plan by a presumptive presidential nominee in our nation's history.
Well, Jim, this makes sense for them to do this because Joe Biden is really a radical pro-LGBTQ activist, as is his wife Jill, by the way, who has worked closely with GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, a radical education group in the past. Let's remember that Joe Biden, even before Barack Obama, when he was in the White House, Joe Biden came out for so-called homosexual, quote-unquote, marriage, even before Barack Obama did. I don't have the exact wording of his recent tweet, Jim, but I think you remember it, where he said that transgender rights is the civil rights issue of our time,
right?
Something to that effect,
right.
He tweeted, Joe Biden is a radical pro-homosexual, pro-transgender advocate, and people need to know that, because I think he also claims to be Catholic, doesn't he?
I don't have that information, Peter. That very well may be.
I believe that's his religious background, and you better believe he's going to fall back on that, even though he's violating every tenet of the Catholic religion in what he's pushing here, including homosexual so-called marriage and this transgender rights, in which we see biological males competing and winning against normal females, and so we are discriminating against women and girls in the name of transgender rights. I think most Americans, if they realize that, would not support that agenda in one bit.
Yeah, and again, just a quick look up here. He does refer to him as being Catholic and his being raised in a working class, a Catholic family, attended a Catholic prep school, etc., considered being a Catholic priest as well. Peter, there is an amazing 20-some page platform that the Vice President, former Vice President Biden has regarding his advance, his plan to advance LGBTQ plus equality in America and around the world. I mean, think of this, writing for 20 pages. President Biden will stand with the LGBTQ plus community to ensure American families lives to the promise on which it was founded, equality for all. He's going to protect, and it goes through LGBTQ plus people from discrimination, protect, support LGBTQ plus youth, ensure fair treatment of LGBTQ plus individuals in the criminal justice system, collect data necessary to fully support LGBTQ plus, advance global LGBTQ plus rights and development. Peter, this is a whole program in itself, but 20 pages long on his plan to advance what he calls LGBTQ plus equality in America, and not just in our nation, but around the world as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is about as working class as a rich man in a mansion. I mean, it's ridiculous. But again, here we see the Democratic Party totally sold out to this perversion agenda, and that's what it is. And Joe Biden, we know he's radical because we know that he pushed Obama to basically change marriage and the definition of marriage in a perverse way, and he was there. And so I don't know what the response will be, but they're going to try. The media will not ask questions. We hardly saw any questions in the primaries, Jim. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was not even one which questioned about this competition in sports athletics where the biological boys who are pretending to be girls are beating girls in sports competitions. Will Joe Biden even be asked about that? I doubt it, really, by the media.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. If you'd like to weigh in on this issue today, maybe you've got a question, maybe a comment on the issue here today, 800-733-9829. We're talking about the advancement of the LGBTQ plus agenda during COVID-19. And, friends, the stories that we have shared today are all happening during COVID-19. And there is more, but we don't have time for more, so we want to take time to take your phone calls here today on Crosstalk 800-733-9829. Peter LaBarbera is with us today, and his website, AmericansForTruth.com. Let's go to the phone lines, and we've got Jeff calling in from Lancaster, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim, Peter. I was wondering, in regard to this New York congressman who didn't want Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse to care for COVID-19 patients, I was wondering, if he didn't want Samaritan's Purse there, did he set up any kind of care center himself? I was curious to hear how many of those who attacked Samaritan's Purse actually helped and set up some kind of care center themselves.
Yeah, and matter of fact, just for correction, that was a state senator, not a congressman. But
okay.
Thank you for raising that question. Peter, I didn't see any moves by State Senator Brad Hoyleman to do what Samaritan's Purse was doing.
Of course not, and Christians are in the forefront of providing charitable good deeds all across the country caring for the sick, and that's what Franklin Graham was doing. And I have to also commend, while we're at it, Jim, we must commend Franklin Graham for not backing down on sexual immorality, as we have seen so many Christian celebrities and leaders do. And so I hope and pray that God continues to bless him in Samaritan's Purse, because he has stood strong doing the charitable work, but not backing down on the biblical mandate for sexual morality.
Chris is our next caller from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hello. Just a couple quick scriptures out of 1 Corinthians, scriptures we all know but need to be reinforced during times like this. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. The Lord is for the body. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Go back to chapter 3 here. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy it. For the temple of God is holy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Appreciate that. And again, Peter, we could look into Corinthians about the passage, such were some of you, and that there is healing and forgiveness and freedom from this lifestyle that's found through Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And if I could just put a plug in for my good friend Stephen Black, he's in Oklahoma, and he's been trying to fight Sarah Cunningham from spreading this idea of gay Christianity in Oklahoma. And if anybody needs help, they've got a good ministry. It's First Stone Ministries in Oklahoma.
Going back to the phone lines, David in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I think I was to a conference of yours, Peter, back on the South Side a while back. But again, I'd like to stick with the words that the Bible uses, users of themselves of mankind. You look it up, the concordance, it means sodomites. And I like to use those words. And then the good news is, when we were out at the Pride Fest, my twin and I, we passed out God's stories of a transformed life. And I'll just end with this. I like the Lord came up and gave me this, LJBTQ. Lord Jesus, beget, transform, quicken me into a child of God. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
God bless you.
Okay. I appreciate that very much. Your comments here today. David in Pewaukee, you're on the air.
Hi. When I hear you talk about, the whole idea of male and female created them, there's two things that stand out to me. One is that just the idea that God created male and female totally abolishes the whole idea of evolution, because evolution depends on one organism advancing on its own. And in God's design, he made a man and woman to be dependent on each other to continue to propagate the race. And, also with almost all of the living things he's made.
Yeah.
Totally abolishes the whole idea of evolution, because a man needs a woman and a woman needs a man in order to produce children.
Indeed.
The other thing is that I think the reason the devil hates the human race so much is that God gave the human race the ability to create eternal souls from the union of two basically clay.
Hold on, David. I'm up against a break. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. In 1987, Arthur S. Miller wrote a book called The Secret Constitution and the Need for Constitutional Change. He said, quote, "A perverse system of thought control exists in the United States. The citizenry is indoctrinated by employment of the mass media and the system of public education. People are told what to think about. The old order is crumbling. Nationalism should be seen as a dangerous social disease. A new vision is required to plan and manage the future, a global vision that will transcend national boundaries and eliminate the poison of nationalistic solutions," end quote. Notice he's openly admitting mass media is being used, along with public education, to change people's thinking and to do away with the disease or poison of nationalism. And by nationalism, we mean national borders, sovereignty, our own currency, anti-globalism.
Thank you.
Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, LGBTQ plus advances during COVID-19. Yeah, so much is shut down, so much has been stopped, but not this agenda. Well, let's go right back here to David. David, sorry about that. We're going to have you complete your comment there.
Okay. Well, essentially what it boils down to is I think, you know, if you look at the way God designed the whole realm of the angels, Satan was the highest one, and yet God never gave him the ability to produce anyone after his kind.
Hmm.
And here he comes along and he takes, in the eyes of the devil, two dirtbags that, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but essentially we're made out of the dust of the ground, and God breathes his life into two human souls, and through the union of a loving bond between a man and a woman, another eternal soul is created by the union of their bodies, and that just has mm-hmm. to infuriate a being of such high intellect. And it's like, who is God to give this privilege of creating eternal souls to such lowly individuals and not to me? And I think if you notice, every area of his attack in our society today is everything related to human sexuality, abortion, incest, rape, pedophile priests, the whole LGBT thing. It's all yeah. an attack on human sexuality.
I say, Jim, you look at the confluence of issues. You have the same groups that promote abortion with the story of RuPaul and mm-hmm. The Price is Right,
yep.
also supporting transsexuality, yep. which mocks women. And then you have, I think we didn't get to this one, Jim, of Anderson Cooper, the CNN yep. personality, quote, having a baby. He's got a baby son. He had broken up with his boyfriend, but now he has a baby. So you've got a broken up homosexual couple raising a baby yep. boy, or I don't know if it's a baby boy or girl, but that's sort of, it's all a really bad copy of the family that God created, the nature of family, and its ability to procreate. And it's all a very bad copy, either that or just literally destroying children, which is what abortion is.
David, appreciate your comments here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we come from the dust of the ground. We're the dirt bag, so to speak, coming from the dust of the ground. I had not heard it in that frame before, but okay, let's go to Udell in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air. Udell, you're on the air. Okay, we better go to John in Alabama. You're on the air.
Hello. I have a comment concerning the man and woman. God created Adam, the first man, and created Eve by taking a rib from Adam and created woman. He never used the term male or female.
Well, let's go to the book of Genesis, and you will see that in verse 26, male and female created he them. And you'll find that term there, John, as well as other places as well. And you'll see even Jesus referring to that in the book of Matthew. He said, hadn't you heard that God, they were created male and female from the beginning? So you'll have that affirmed throughout Scripture, John. Let's go to Leroy next in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the air, Leroy.
Quick. So God created a binary system, and now we see the left talking and the LGBTQ movement celebrating non-binary. They're trying to make their own creation, but it's never as good as God's real creation.
Leroy in Atlanta, you're on the air.
Two things. The first, they say that, you know, I can't control myself, I'm born this way. Well, there's a lot of things about the body that we can't control, like sperm. Sperm look for one thing, eggs and women. They aren't found in men. So they can't get around that one.
Okay. Brent in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to comment that, you know, in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, well, that was one of the biggest sins that was then. But, you know, we still can realize that God loves the sinner, but not the sin. So we need to keep in mind that while there's life, there's hope, you know, and a lot of family members, a lot of them have, you know, and them kind of sin in the family. So what God was putting on me last week, maybe this week, is that we need to claim and our children for God and go to the enemy camp and take what is ours and just, you know, invoke it in the name of Jesus and says, you know, we place these individuals in your hands because, you know, they are, you know, most of them are Christian families that have a lot of this problem.
Brent, thank you for that. I'm going to have Peter comment. We're getting low on time here.
Really quick. Yes, of course, we want people to come out of this lifestyle. It's a sin many people have. I know many examples of people who prayed for loved ones who came out of homosexuality. And by the way, I forgot to mention that the Stephen Black in Oklahoma, he came out of homosexuality, and there were people praying for him. And so it's a very good point. Nobody has to be quote unquote gay. Many people have left the lifestyle. Most of them, I believe, through the help of Jesus Christ himself.
Abigail, Wisconsin Dells, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say one thing is that the LGBTQ, basically, the Q stands for queer. And if you look up queer, it basically means odd. And odd is like out of place, wrong. So that just right there shows that this is not something that is meant to be.
Hmm.
And another thing is, like, before I heard on the radio what drag queen was, I didn't know what it was. I heard about it, but I had no idea what it was. So our pastors should be talking to the young people about these things so that they can be more prepared. And we
great
just
point.
Need to, also our parents need to be aware of these things and telling the young children so they can be prepared for this.
Abigail, thank you for your comments here today. Peter, your thoughts?
Yes, and that latter point is very important. We know now that these young so-called drag kids are learning it from TV. You have RuPaul's Drag Race. We have these kids who are embracing these radical, deviant lifestyles, and they say they're learning them from TV. And so the transgender movement and the transsexual movement is pushing this, just like the gay movement did before that. And so absolutely up as Christians to understand that there are a lot of influences out there that we need to be aware of and to counter-educate on those issues.
Peter LaBarbera with us here today. LGBTQ plus agenda advances during COVID-19. We've run out of time, but Peter, give us a website where our listeners can be in contact with you.
Thank you, Jim. It's AmericansForTruth.org, and that's F-O-R, Americans for Truth. And please sign up, give your email, and we'll put you on our email newsletter list.
Okay, so you can sign up, get updates here from Peter at AmericansForTruth.com. Peter, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.
And folks, stay in prayer for our nation. We need it. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.